This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present, for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure,
the Rich Eisen Show.
Dion pressing all the right buttons.
Henry Blackburn, he made a tremendous hit on Travis on the sideline. Whatever it was, it does not constitute that he should be receiving death threats.
Love you, Dion Sanders.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Bengals head coach Zach Taylor, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Coming up, comedian Gary Gulman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. As always, these days, the first couple hours fly by, and they have today. As always, Tom Pelissero joined us hour one to give us an update on everything going on in the NFL, from Burrow to Jonathan Taylor to everything happening in advance of week number three. If you missed that, as well as Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, who said that Burrow was a little sore earlier this week. They're going to check in with him. It's a Monday nighter against Aaron Donald and the Rams. And I mention Aaron Donald because he's the one that's going to be making potentially Burrow a little more sore. And he's a maker of sores professional. He's going to wear a jacket one day because of it. If you missed any of that, along with Bruce Feldman in studio talking about Dion and this upcoming week of college football games, guess what? We are re-airing on the Roku channel, channel 210, every single day. As soon as we're done, the show starts again. There's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, the Rich Eisen Show collection page, which is a video on demand service with our Roku relationship. There's our podcast version of the show, all 3 hours. Just hit with subscription there. By the way, you get bonuses. Part of the RSS feed is Overreaction Monday and What the Football. Chris and I do Overreaction Monday every Monday, overreacting to the headlines of the previous weekend's football and action. And Susie Schuster, Amy Trask, Ian Rappaport was a guest on What the Football. Same with TJ Jefferson. Hour number three is underway.
I was.
Justin Fields did not have a good day in Tampa. You came in, TJ, saying, what in the world are you doing calling a middle screen from the goal line of your own goal line,
like,
right?
Like, what are you doing? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it can create a lot of havoc. And certainly if your quarterback isn't playing his best and he might flip it right up in the air for a pick six to end the game. And that's what happened. Bears 0-2, and talk about pressure, making diamonds. Their opponent this week, let me make sure I get this. Oh, yes, they're at the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Talk about blank space. So, guess what? Justin Fields was asked about what happened last week and how he can improve his play with a very stout opponent that just made Trevor Lawrence look like he was a rookie again and brings Mahomes and his new gajillion dollar contract with Travis Kelce and everyone else putting points on the board for you to go hunt. And wait till you hear his response and how maybe this is what we would term a rookie mistake if it wasn't something that he's already been in the league for a couple of years. Check it out.
I felt like, you know, I wasn't necessarily playing my game. Felt like I was kind of robotic and, you know, not playing like myself. So, my goal this week is just to, you know, say effort and just go out there and, you know, play football how I know how to play football.
When you say thinking less, what do you think was causing you to think so much, maybe think too much?
You know, could be coaching, I think. But, you know, at the end of the day, it makes it, you know, they're doing their job when they're giving me, you know, what to look at, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I, you know, can't be thinking about that when the game comes. I prepare myself throughout the week, and then when the game comes, it's time to play free at that point. So, you know, just thinking less and, you know, playing more.
Oh, my goodness. Coaching.
Yikes.
In case you're wondering what the headline is, I'll read it off right now on the worldwide leader in sports and their bottom lower third. Justin Fields says he can't play like himself. Because that's a clear indication. Hey, Justin, you're running all over the place. Justin Fields says he hasn't been able to play like himself, are the exact words right now on the worldwide leader in sports beamed out around the world. Hey, Justin, you looked great last year, just running all over the place. Now here comes this crazy thing like schemes and ideas from people like coaches, and you're saying you're playing robotic. It's because the robotic aspect of it, I would think, comes from, hey, Justin, this is your read. This is what you should be doing. This is where your receiver is going to be. And it's just something that he definitely knows. I mean, he, you know, he threw against Georgia, right, in that game years ago. He threw every possible pass off of every possible route tree, whether it was one of those frozen ropes or dropping it in a bucket, down a sideline, over the middle. I mean, so what was he just playing street ball for Ohio State? Is that what it was? Honestly, how else do you take this? And I'll just say this too, even though, because if Zach Wilson's like, do you think you're letting your team down? No. Why are you playing robotic? Why do you think it is coaching? That does come across as not accepting responsibility for your problem, which is, you know, winning, being efficient, finding the receiver they got for you because they kept you. These are the coaches that pounded the table to make sure you didn't wind up in Carolina or somewhere else. Right? I mean, this is 100% the implication from a statement like that. I have a feeling there'll be a walk back or two coming. Unless, by the way, how about the flip side? Let's take Justin Fields' sure. point of view from what he's apparently implying. They're not doing right by him.
Right. Using his skill set.
How about that? How about that? They're not doing right by him. That they are giving him too much of read this, do that, which sounds like, you know, trying to make him a professional quarterback. But certainly the guy that we saw running around last year and running for and maybe this whole thing about you got to hit your back foot and get rid of it. You got to throw it more. Don't run around, Justin, because you ran for damn near 1,200 yards last year. And guess what? You might get your ass beat. Show him footage of Anthony Richardson not finishing two games. I don't know. Maybe they aren't doing right by him. And he's just like, I'm going out there. And if I'm asked certain questions, I'll just say it. Or he's just being honest. Mm. What a soundbite, huh? From Chicago, Illinois. Coaching. How's that next film session going to go? What's up, Coach?
Hot. Hello, Justin.
He only had four carries against the Bucs. He's been sacked 10 times in two games. Only two touchdowns.
Yeah, maybe let's try something else. Let's run around because, hey, man, you're going to need him to be Superman because the other guy's got an S on his chest too, you know?
And the other guy might have this game circled and take it personal for them not drafting him.
Who? Mahomes?
Mahomes to the Bears.
Look, you think he's still... I guess he could be Brady 6 in deep down?
You would think not, but Tom Brady apparently carried a chip forever.
Yeah,
so.
You took Trubisky, huh? But they're all gone. Actually, look, you know, I guess, right?
Oh, the...
No, I mean, Nagy inherited Trubisky.
Yeah.
So... The guy who's currently in Mahomes' headset right now might be just what whispering this year and this week. But hey, Pat, you know what I learned when I got to Chicago, Pat?
They didn't think you were good.
They thought Trubisky was better than you. They looked at, they grinded all of his, what, 14 games in North Carolina. They grinded all that tape.
Something like that, yeah.
They thought North Carolina had better tape at North Carolina than you had at Texas Tech.
See, better, I'm saying you just than, you
hey,
don't know.
Hey, I heard they grinded all that Trubisky tape, and they even thought Deshaun Watson wasn't anything in Clemson either.
Yeah, but this Trubisky,
but Trubisky, they had to have him. Had to have him.
Showtime. They didn't think he was good enough, son.
By the way, wow. Bears didn't super want hot, you. Super wow. hot, super hot take.
Uh huh.
Patrick Mahomes, if he got drafted by the Bears, he'd be on a different team by now.
You know what?
That's very possible, but this is the Bears ruin quarterbacks.
It's the age old nature versus nurture, right? The same old, same old. And this is why, again, you got to feel for like Darnold. Darnold's perfect example. Todd Bowles was essentially like a dead coach walking potentially when he gets drafted. Then he's drafted. Todd Bowles is gone. In comes Adam Gase. Okay. Then he's seeing ghosts himself. And then see you later. And then there's Matt Rhule for him. And then now he's with Shanahan. And he's finally gotten. So what if he had shown up? What if Andy Reid had drafted him, for instance? You know what I'm saying? Like there are things like you're lucky or not.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Okay. The same thing with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor, hey, you're drafted first overall. Your head coach is Urban Meyer. The biggest flameout in the history of NFL head coaching. Honestly, makes Bobby Petrino look like they should name the trophy the Petrino Trophy in the NFL.
That's how
bad it was for Urban Meyer. And then Doug Peterson comes in, and maybe we're seeing the ascent that we all expected Trevor Lawrence to have. That said, who is Justin Fields' guy? Well, maybe he should walk into the film. Should he walk into the film room just to break up the tension? Just like doing the robot. Like, are we watching film today?
Boom, boom, boom.
You know, are we watching film today? All right, it's a Wednesday, everybody. You know what that means? Yeah. Giving you what you want.
Croissants?
No, that was yesterday with Susie.
Ice cream?
No, no, no. That's what you said for me to do for years.
Yeah, give the people what they want, Rich.
It is a trip to Boulder.
It is the football version of croissants.
Yeah. Oh,
it's my power rankings. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. Presented by Carnival Cruise Line. It's sponsored, baby.
Yeah.
My power rankings presented by Carnival Cruise Line.
Come on. Yeah, you're going to like it, DJ.
I think so.
And I'm on the good ship Seattle. Once again, hop on board, people. The Seahawks have re-cracked my top 10. I love it. I love Geno Smith going into Detroit, where everybody's thinking this is Detroit's year, including me. And going in there... and showing them who's boss. Oh. They don't have their tackles. They don't have the prez yet.
Oh.
They go in there and they take the Lions to overtime and they take them out. And now the Seattle Seahawks are 1-1 and they knock the Lions off my list and put themselves back on it. Something that I'm sure they were celebrating in the locker room, unbeknownst to them. Number 9 on my list. New to the list.
New.
New.
Oh.
Their defense is buzzing around. Their wide receivers may be the best in the league that nobody's talking about. And they look pretty damn good because there's somebody who wakes up dangerous and he's planting the flag at number 9. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Baker freaking Mayfield. Yes.
Okay.
Mike Evans won 11 straight games last year with Tom Brady. Without scoring a touchdown, he scored a touchdown in the first 2 games this year. And Shaq Barrett's buzzing. Warren Sapp came on the show yesterday talking about how good they are defensively, and they are. They are buzzing. And now they're going to be buzzing in Tampa. Did you hear Rich had a 9 on his power rankings list presented by Carnival Cruise Line? They're going to say exactly those words. Number 8, down 2 spots. I still have them on here. Hey, they hung in there. They hung in there against the Chiefs. I got the Jaguars here. I still think they are better than most in this league. I still think they are top 3rd in this league. They got what it takes. And no shame in losing at home to the Kansas City Chiefs, people.
Well, you have them 8th, so that means they're top quarter, top 25.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, top 3rd. I've got 10. These are 10. These are 10.
But they're 8th. So okay. You know what I mean?
Excuse me. I was told there would be no math on this test.
Sorry.
Number 7, up 2 spots. Say what you will about them. They're 2-0. They're the Baltimore Ravens. I'm putting the Ravens right here. They won a game in Cincinnati, pal. And I know what they did against... They played Houston week 1. It's just 2 weeks in. They're 2-0. They've got Lamar. They play defense. They're going to get better on offense. They're number 7. Up one spot, the Buffalo Bills are 6th. I told you about Josh Allen. Don't worry about this guy. There are going to be some messy days. There'll be some days where you got to clean up. You're going to look at the kid.
Good with the bad.
You're going to look at the kid and say, you're going to leave that there, really? That's what I say to my kids all the time. I'm like, hey, look around the room. You're going to leave that on the floor? Really? That's what it is with Josh Allen every now and then. But then they come home and they delight you. That's what happened. He went home. He delighted the fans. Stephon Diggs and him, they're tight. Yeah. I like the Bills. They're 6th. Top 5 now.
Five.
Down 2 spots. Down 2 spots. Philadelphia Eagles. I need to see a little more. Not going to lie.
They're 2-0.
I know. They're down 2 spots.
They're down 2 spots?
They're down 2 spots.
What did they do to get down?
You know what? What they did to get down? They're just a little off. They're a little off. You know what concerns me?
AJ Brown's barking. Last week.
How is AJ Brown barking at this at his quarterback? What's going on?
He wants the ball.
I understand that. Devontae Smith had the ball. I understand. You got to do what you got to do to win. Right. We're watering. We're fertilizing. We're not arguing.
Down 2 spots.
Yeah. Because number 4 on this list, at no change, I like the Chiefs better than I like the Eagles.
Really?
Yes. I know they lost a game at home.
But they barely scored last week.
Kelsey, Chris Jones. For Patrick Mahomes.
Interesting.
It's our privilege to be paying rent in his NFL world.
Folks. 1-1 team.
I got it.
Head of a 2-0.
That's
team.
Correct. They're my power rankings, and they're sponsored. Number 3 on this list, up 2 spots, and I have them above the Chiefs because I'm being consistent. I said this team is playing like they are the most complete team in the American Football Conference, the Miami Dolphins, up 2 spots. I have them 3 on my power rankings list.
A little low.
Tua is the man. Tyreek Hill scored a touchdown, even though Belichick held him down on offense in terms of yards a little bit. Raheem Mostert's running up the gut. They play better defensively. They're going to get better with each passing week. The 4 words for the Miami Dolphins season, if Tua stays healthy. Because I can tell you, as a New York Jet fan, with all due respect, Mike White is a step. Let's just put it that way. Just a step.
A step.
You can figure out which direction the step goes, up or down.
Come on.
Yeah, he didn't deserve the shrapnel.
just a strike.
And I'm going to get the shrapnel because 2 on the list are the Cowboys.
What?
Yep. 2 on the list are the Cowboys, and I chose this team to win the Super Bowl, so I'm going to stick with them as long as they're undefeated.
Cowboys?
Nope. 49ers. Number 1, Christian McCaffrey leading the league in rushing. Defensively, they've got some people. I'm circling. I'll just say this to you, TJ. I am circling. You've got his sign up, too. He thought I'd have him number 1 just because they beat the Jets and Zach Wilson.
I thought I was going to like this list. I don't like this list.
Week five. Circle week 5.
Disrespect is real.
49ers, Cowboys, week 5. Circle it.
Circled. All right. Just circled.
Circle it.
I don't know where I'm circling, but circle.
Circle it. The 49ers are going to, I think, dismantle the Giants on Thursday night. They'll be home for Arizona. They'll be 4-0 taking on Dallas. Dallas has Arizona this coming week. And then Dallas has New England in their house. And I think they're going to treat New England quite rudely. If I may say, I think my top 2 teams in the power rankings will have at it week 5, and then we'll hash it out. And then have a whole 2/3 of the season after that. So those are my power rankings presented by Carnival Cruise Line. Whether you enjoy Caribbean beaches or curated cuisines, the spa, or riding the first roller coaster at sea, Carnival makes it easy to plan a vacation where everyone can choose their own kind of fun because no one does fun like Carnival. Would you have, real quick. Caribbean or Caribbean? How would you have read that?
Caribbean.
Pirates
Caribbean?
Of the Caribbean.
You say Caribbean.
Caribbean. Well, Caribbean. Well, it's Pirates of the Caribbean, but it's a Caribbean cruise.
It's Caribbean cruise.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
TJ?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm singing
TJ?
Like a Billy Ocean song, it's
Caribbean Queen.
Caribbean.
Right.
Saying Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So
but you can't take Billy.
Oh.
First of all, and I know this is about Carnival Cruise Line and it's Billy Ocean. You cannot take anything seriously from a man who once told you to get out of his dreams and into his car. After that, it's all off.
That makes sense to me.
You understand what I'm saying?
I did that all the time.
What does that even mean?
What does that mean? Get out of my dreams and get into my car. It's creepy. It's weird. It makes no sense.
It makes total sense.
I mean.
All right, let's take a break. Gary Goldman is here. He's a very funny comedian with a new book called Misfits. Misfit, pardon me. Gary Goldman is next on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Larry David, we've done this before with you.
Yeah.
I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay.
Yes. First one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry David?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane to somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
What the distance from your house that you
would... An hour and a half by car. That's it.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
So you're going into somebody's house for, let's say, the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This happened to one of our producers, Ken Tulo. They brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
It's still...
It's a perishable.
You're bringing it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the host didn't see it, then you could sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, if you placed it on the table and there's no note, that's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, then you could take it.
Last one for you, Larry, LD. Shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane taking
shoes? I have a big problem with it. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Keep them on. Okay? You know, don't make yourself... It's not your house, all right? You're outside. You're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of mints. Keep your shoes on.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. The desk is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The author of Misfit, Growing Up Awkward in the 80s, Gary Goldman, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Gary. How are you?
An honor, Rich. So great to meet you and see you and sit by this gorgeous desk.
This is the, this is the Rich Eisen Show desk. So, you know, I've been told by many people that we're going to get along just great.
Yes.
We know people in common. And then I just did what I always do for guests who have not been on the show yet. I Wikipedia them.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I have a strong Wikipedia page. For somebody as virtually unknown as me.
Don't say that. Don't say that. You're an author. You're a comedian of note. You've got tour dates coming up.
Sure.
Which we'll get to. And this is how I know we're going to get along. Interestingly enough, it says subject matters that are, I guess, part of your comedy.
Yeah.
Everyday life, pop culture, childhood, and Judaism. Yeah. So I'm like, what more do I talk about?
Come on.
That's like that's the grand slam. You touch them all there. So
yes.
I think we're going to go along just great.
And the book covers Hebrew school and Jewish summer camp, not exclusively, but amongst other things. I always felt that Jewish summer camp was this great opportunity for young Jewish boys to have the Gentiles culled from the pack so that they stood out in athletics as well as physical appearance. So it was, it was the T-ball of dating and Jewish social life.
One of my greatest achievements was to get out of Hebrew school. Funny. So I could stay, and we're the same age, I believe. I'm 54, you're 53.
53,
So we might have, because you're from the Boston area, right, from Massachusetts.
Yes.
We might have had different experiences. I got out of Hebrew school. My parents allowed me to get out of Hebrew school, a rare occurrence.
Wow.
To watch the Yankees and Red Sox play the game that was the Bucky Dent home run game.
Oh, my gosh, the 78, wow.
In 1978, there I was, 9 years old.
Wow.
Getting out of Hebrew school.
Were you rooting for the Yankees or the Red Sox?
I mean, I'm from New York City, sir.
Yeah, okay.
So we're on opposite sides of the fence.
Yeah, I was rooting for the Red Sox, and it's sort of my, where were you when JFK? I remember exactly where I was when Bucky Dent hit that home run. I was at my Uncle Norman's, Uncle Norman was able to get us very good electronics because of his job. He was a burglar. What non-Jews,
I had no idea that burglars got great. I mean, I guess it makes sense.
What non-Jews don't know about Jewish people is that we run the gamut of professions. We're not just journalists and accountants. There's also burglars, and there was a Cy Young Award winner. The most recent one I think was Steve Stone, but before that there was Sandy Koufax, of course, which you can't talk to a Jew about baseball for 6 seconds without him bringing up Koufax taking off Yom Kippur.
My mom and the guys here love talking about this. TJ, for some reason in particular, the sweetest guy on the set, along with Del Tufo, is that my mom went to the same high school as Sandy Koufax.
In Brooklyn.
And once upon a time had an opportunity to maybe go and out on a day that he would be a gentleman caller, potentially.
A woman in my Hebrew school carpool, I am not making this up, the late Gail Greenberg.
May she rest in peace.
Dated Sandy Koufax. But here's the thing. Yes. I think that anyone who was in his high school or went to his high school claims to have dated Sandy Koufax. Because this can't be that big of a coincidence that the two women who intersected with Sanford Brown Koufax knew, dated him.
So he's like the Jewish Judd Nelson of that odd breakfast club. The most strange breakfast club in the history of high schools. See, I told you we'd get along.
I knew this.
Gary Goldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. I have been told you have a fantastic, one-of-a-kind college football story. Is this a true story, Gary Goldman? How did you get into college football?
I played 1 year of high school football and could dunk and catch a foot. I was just bigger and faster than everybody in the greater Boston area of football, but I was soft. Like I was soft and I was a reader. And but Jack Bicknell, who I mean, he was a legend.
Yes.
because he had coached Doug Flutie in the Heisman Trophy year. This was a few years after that. He saw something in me, and he was completely wrong. There was nothing to me except that I could excel when people were around 5'11", and yes. I was 6'6" and 255. And then I got to BC, and the tight end ahead of me was Mark Chmura.
And my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. He's
from
he's
the Packers.
Good.
He was yeah. really good, and he was the only one who could run faster and jump higher. So I tested well. I was like a combine superstar. But then when we got on the field, yeah. I would just get the daylights knocked out of me all afternoon long, and then my reps decreased. And before I know it, they sent me to a therapist, and because I was having my first of many breakdowns, and so Boston College was very generous and guided me through 4 years of college
football. But how many reps did you get in high school at college at football?
Oh, I played in 10 games. I was a starter, offense and defense.
High school.
There aren't any decisions you have to make other than your route in high school. Yes. And when I got to college, it was like, well, if you see a rolled up corner and I if they're in cover two and I fogged over and I could never read defenses. And so I would turn around and the ball would be in my back from because the quarterback was Glenn Foley, who just had a cannon.
Wow. So Glenn Foley was your quarterback, we were below the depth chart from Mark Chmura.
Oh yeah,
at
yeah,
Boston
yeah, yeah.
College. Just years after Flutie had that big moment.
Yeah, but quickly they moved me to offensive line, okay. where I was with Tom Nalen was the center. I mean, yeah, it's a who's who, wow. and then a who's Jew. it was a Catholic university, and it's just there were no mezuzahs on any of the they knew it was me because I put up, it was like ram's blood.
That was the Passover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You would pass, Glenn Foley would pass
yes,
over
yes,
you.
Exactly. But there were no seders to be found. Plenty of communion, but no matzah.
I think we need to move Judaism up on this list of Wikipedia subject matters.
Well, I know my audience. I pander. Yes. I pander.
No, well, that's, you're a comedian of note for sure.
Thank
when you do
you.
That misfit by Gary Goldman, growing up awkward in the 80s. What was awkward? I don't remember what was awkward for me in the 80s, but what was awkward for you?
I mean, the thing was that my dad thought I would have, and he was right, but it crushed me. He thought I would have an advantage athletically if he made me repeat the first grade. Mm-hmm. But I was, and this is sad that I have to point this out. I was in the top reading group. I was a good student.
Okay.
But my father wanted to get this. It was sort of like the Malcolm Gladwell outliers. So I didn't have a January birthday for hockey, but I could repeat the first grade, and it didn't make me excel at sports, but socially I was too mature for the people who were a year younger than me, because it's a big gap at that age.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I didn't fit in with them. And then when I went to Hebrew school, most of the Hebrew school kids were, you find out that there are different levels. There's a spectrum of Judaism. These kids knew all the holidays, and I was hearing about Purim and all I had celebrated was Hanukkah and Passover. And then they're coming in and they're rabbi level Jews in comparison to my house, and it was just I didn't fit in with those kids. Also, they were pretty well off. Their fathers were all shoe salesmen, and my parents were divorced, so we were just broke all the time. It was a lonely Bueller's day off. It was a lonely time.
This is, what a high school story.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's all in this book.
That's part of the book, and also we have my first date.
Okay.
And also the Hebrew school and the Jewish summer camp I went to, that was, because we were broke, it was paid for by the local Jewish Federation, which is very generous.
Where'd you go?
It was called Camp Simcha. And
no, it was not.
I swear to you. It was called Camp Simcha, and they would pick us up on a bus, and I went there, and I was bullied by Jews, which to be bullied amongst the bully, it was very uncomfortable, because they were busing in kids from a marginally more tougher town called Lynn, Massachusetts, which is known as it was the city of sin. And so these kids were already getting to second base with girls and everything like that, and they just had no use for a sheltered, pampered Jew. It was a nightmare.
On a free ride to Camp Simcha.
Yes. I was on a full boat to Simcha.
Gary Coleman here on the Rich Eisen Show. The first thing Chris Brockman noticed when you sat down are, what did you notice, Christopher?
Oh, Gary's wearing the new Jason Tatum sneakers. Let's go.
Okay.
Yes.
Tatum ones.
So you are a diehard Celtics fan.
I'm a diehard Celtics fan since 79-80 when Bird's rookie year. Yeah, I was 8 or 9, I think, and we just fell in love with him. It was, I mean, the perfect time to follow basketball.
8 or 9 when Larry Bird shows up to Boston. To be a Celtic fan at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
When I was 8 and 9, you know, I was, what was I doing? I was watching Rory Sparrow play for the Knicks. Michael Ray Richardson showed up at some point in time.
Sly Williams.
Both Williams played. Yeah. You know, Buck Williams had a little bit of some time with the Knicks then, and then Ewing showed up.
Yeah. I watched Ewing in high school because he went to Cambridge Ranger Latin. So I went to a basketball camp that his coach ran, and it was the most exciting time of my life. And the great thing about sports is that you intersect with people who are from different cultures. So it was the first time I really knew African American people close, and I learned a great deal about the importance of lotion, and I shared with him the ideas of Saturdays off.
Lotion's crucial.
Lotion is crucial. He would say, if we don't use lotion, my roommate was Ray Marshall. We roomed together for 3 summers, and he said at the basketball camp, he said, if we don't use lotion, then we get what is called ashy, and we will be ridiculed from the moment school starts until the end of the day. And I said, oh, that's like wearing jeans that are too short in a white school. You could never get over being for having floods. So it's a very different thing, but according to Ray, the worst thing was to be either nappy or ashy, he would say. Yeah.
TJ, would you like to chime in on this front at all?
Ray told no lies.
And my wife is a black woman, and she confirmed all these things later on.
So you received confirmation throughout your entire life.
And now TJ has also confirmed it. So I
got lotion on my desk over there.
There you go.
In front of Roku, I can't be.
Things that the Israelites never had to worry about was ocean. We were. I don't know if this was a case with you growing up in the 80s, but the idea of sunscreen. We never wore sunscreen, and any mom who had sunscreen was considered a helicopter parent.
Then I had a helicopter parent,
okay.
Sir.
Interesting. That's fantastic.
It's funny. The other day, Gary Goldman, again, his book, Misfit, we're all books
thanks
to
for
be
resetting,
acquired.
Rich.
I'm a professional resetter,
yes.
Sir. Is that the other day, the night before the NFL kickoff, the mother of Travis Kelce was on NBC being interviewed by Kaylee Hartung of the Today Show and Prime Video. But at any rate, she was being interviewed because Travis had gotten hurt.
Right. No, I remember.
And so she was asked about her son's readiness to play. And I thought to myself, what if my mother in that position? What if my mother was being asked if I was physically ready to play football? And she would have been like, are you, he's his knee, he shouldn't play, you know,
yeah.
He should sit, he should get well, you know.
Are you resting enough,
exactly.
honey, are you getting rest, these 2-a-day practices, twice a day, when do you rest?
Yes. You get it.
100%.
So, oh, my God. Sitting there and thinking, do I say something on NBC?
Oh.
Just like if my mother.
Yes.
Or something along like Donna Kelsey is not Hamish. You know, like this. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I let it slide. I just decided.
But you can't go wrong in bringing it back to our mothers. It's always funny.
There she is right there.
Oh, like, my God.
That's the beautiful Donna Kelsey next to her brother or her sons.
Right.
You know, they're the brothers,
that's right.
The Kelsey brothers.
She has two sons. So she was so sweet.
And she's just
NFL.
Like, well, the trainers are going to look at it. And my mother would be like, the doctor should absolutely be listened to.
Yeah.
Don't listen to anybody but the doctor.
Yeah, know? The Jewish equivalent of having two sons in the NFL, I think, is having two sons in the Big Four accounting the firms.
Deloitte and Touche?
Yes, to have Price Waterhouse
Or your kids are Price and Waterhouse.
Yes.
Now that's the Super Bowl.
Wow. I feel like this, much like Casablanca, is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, Rich Eisen.
That's what I was told.
Yes.
Gary?
Oh, so fun.
So how do you think? You must be excited.
I'm really excited.
Paid Jalen Brown, right?
And, oh, my gosh.
And Tatum's going to be next. You know he's going nowhere.
I mean, so. I haven't felt this way since Garnett and Ray Allen joined the team. But I've loved this team since the year when Irving went down and Terry Rozier III came in and dominated. I mean, this team has been through a lot. I'll miss Marcus Smart, but
he had the greatest name in Boston.
Oh my
sports accent
not since
history.
Nomar Gashapara.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Nomar kid.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart was the greatest
guy. Top five. I mean, you got Marcus Smart.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, yes,
because he was also Kyle Yastrzemski guy.
Yeah,
and then Nomar Gashapara, and although we loved Mosi Tutupu, but it didn't flow. Yeah, it didn't flow with the Boston accent.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady kid. I'm not a member of the LGBTQ+ community, but Tom Brady, that's a good-looking guy right there.
No doubt. So your tour dates.
GaryGolman.com.
Yes. Newark, New Jersey at the Victoria Theater, Boston, Mass, the Wilbur.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. What a beautiful tour.
I can't wait.
Wilbur.
And those are all sold out, but I'll be returning. And the book, I did an audio version, and there's also the hardcover. And that's... I got the hardcover. I did the audible version. Yeah, dude.
Misfit, growing up awkward in the 80s, available now wherever you get your books. Gary, come on back. Let's do this again.
I was hoping you would invite me back.
Before we go, let's hit the way back machine. I think we have a photograph. Gary Golman, there it is.
Oh, wow.
Is that a Topps cart? Is that a mullet? You didn't tell me you had a mullet.
I was rocking the mullet to the point in 1989 where the hockey kids were impressed. They would say, what flow? BC hockey at that time, we had what was called the hemline, which was Steve Hines, David, Emma, and Marty McGinnis.
And they made it to
what was then the Final Four. Now it's the Frozen Four.
It
was the greatest hockey season, college hockey season I've ever witnessed. It was
a Topps card, man. That's pretty cool.
I think somebody photoshopped that. I don't think that's a real. At best,
did
I would
do
been Don Russ or Fleer.
Oh, yeah, but that's awesome. Don Russ or Fleer.
Yeah.
89 Don Russ, that's Brady Jr., right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
why
then
not?
the upper deck Griffey, which...
One of the greatest baseball cards ever.
Was used for currency in Seattle. You could pay for coffee with a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card.
At Gary Golman on Twitter and Instagram. Everybody go get Misfit where books are available. Thanks for coming on.
This is the greatest interview I've ever given.
It's been a blast. It's been a blast. I knew it. As soon as I saw the Wikipedia page. And what your likes are, just like, I mean, it's a great
intersection,
Kenahara, as they say, right?
Man, we would have been really close friends in high school, Rich Eisen.
I know that.
Wow.
I know that.
Now you're close friends now.
We are. Better late than never.
You know?
It's like learning when you're 54, betting confirmed that Ashy is bad. Gary Golman here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with more in a moment. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least
The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100% you need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Boy, that was funny with Gary Gallman. I mean, that was funny.
It's a riot, man.
Honestly, I saw those keywords on the you know, Wikipedia. I'm like, we got this. We got this. Sorry, TJ, you got to turn on your mic.
I think that's a great fantasy football team name, by the way.
Which is what?
We Ashy got this? Israelite.
Ashy Israelite. That's not bad. We got to name our team. We're 2-0.
You don't have a name
I think
don't need to name
it. No, you keep
2-0.
Oh,
yeah. You know what I mean?
It's fantasy 2-0. Just fantasy team.
What are we, just the Rich Eisen show? That's the name, right?
Fantasy team.
Rich Eisen fantasy team? It's his team Rich Eisen show
on
it, right?
Yeah, it's team Rich Eisen show. Okay. R-O-E-R-E-S Consulting?
No, we need a name.
No, don't change.
It's Jabroni, not that.
There's a point in time. Guys, we have problems. And we'll get to that in a second.
Hold on. My app needs to update.
Meanwhile, we're not changing our name until Arthur Smith shaves his mustache.
There we go. That's it. Just put his face.
They're 2-0. They're 2-0, and his mustache is staying.
I like that. That's good.
Okay. Then we change your name to Arthur Smith.
I'm looking at Sam Howell talking right now. He hasn't changed his bedhead.
Say, how's his hair?
Like, there's nothing elite about it. Look at that stare down.
I mean, come on.
By the way, I saw Colin Hanks on Sunday.
Okay.
Because he showed up at NFL Network because he's a Niner fan. He went to the game on Sunday. And he is preparing new stepfathers.
Well, we got many new coaches
Dude,
in the league.
He's come up with
time.
He came up with Mike McDaniel on the spot. He came up with Arthur Smith, I believe, on the spot. It's great. I'm like, please come in. Please make time. I think he's coming in the next couple of weeks.
Hold on. I got to put Eckler back in our starting lineup. Hold on a second.
Oh, do that later. We have the show to get to.
Well, I have 5 seconds.
We have the show to get to. Yeah, there we go. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Guys, we're 2-0 in our fantasy league against the fantasy footballers and the rest of the jamokes that they put up against us. We got problems. Our fantasy quarterback says he's not playing himself, and he's playing like a robot.
Yeah.
We're 2-0 despite Justin Fields playing like a robot.
Should we play golf this week?
I don't know. We had to talk about it because
I think we might have
to. Although, hold on a second. Wait for it because earlier in the show, we played the fact that Justin Fields said that when asked, why are you not playing as freely or as Justin Fields-like as you want to be or can be? And he said coaching. And he gave a longer answer. So what does the actual head coach of the Chicago Bears have to say about it? Looks like he's taken in the comment, and it's a note.
Okay.
It's a note for Eberflus, and this is what he had to say.
I mean, obviously, you know, when, you know, if he's feeling that way, then, you know, then yes. You know, I think that a player needs to feel free. He needs to have the flow of the game. He needs to use his instincts. That's what you want from players, right? You know, you have any players like that, right? If it's a receiver, linebacker, defensive line, those guys, you got to play free, right? And, you know, the guys were brought here to play that way. We want to see them. We want to see those in the game situations. Certainly as a quarterback, you got to go through your progressions, but there's also instincts that are involved in that. And we want them to have that flow. We want them to have that freedom to do those things.
There you go. So, first of all, there's someone in Chicago giving Del Tufo a run for his heavy typing money.
Heavy finger Del Tufo.
There you go.
Heavy fingers.
So, like, okay, if he feels that way, which means the subtext to that is he's not in tune to the way his quarterback thinks, and the subtext to what the quarterback is saying is the coaches aren't in tune to what he's thinking writ large, and that is 100% going to be the conversation on every radio station in Chicago from here for a while, because we're assuming this is not going to be vastly improved in Kansas City.
No.
Oh, my goodness. What a Wednesday in the neighborhood for the Chicago Bears.
Man, deep dish pizza.
Deep dish sometimes.
Oh, my God. Justin Fields acting like a robot? How about he does the shopping cart instead and actually start filling up the cart with W's?
Hey.
That was a really good Rich.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
It was really good.
What a day. I mean, Justin Fields has got to know if he's saying coaching, what that's going to be. What's going
to
happen?
Get back to the coaches. Well, they're going to hear that.
You think? He said it in the press conference.
Come on, man.
Or this is a coaching problem.
I'm telling you, he hated that screen pass.
Bears fans are not happy. Just talking to the one in the back.
Dirt it. What are you doing? Dirt it.
He's out there to run the play is called, man. I don't know why I'm sticking up.
Rap Sheet, who's on What the Football. Rap Sheet is on What the Football with Susie and Amy. Go get it where all podcasts are acquired. Just said Saquon's out. So whatever Brian Daboll was, you know, floating yesterday, that balloon is now popped. No Saquon. Start Matt Breida if you dare against his former team.
I would sit this one out.
You think?
If you have Giants players in fantasy.
Let me just say this. James Dolan says he doesn't like owning sports teams. Told that to the New York Times in this big feature. You know, he owns that Sphere in Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I'll be at next.
That's his latest. That's his latest thing. And I'll just say this. Yep. Hey, James, and I this runs the risk of me. I'd love to go to that Sphere. I'd love to see a YouTube's playing.
I'm going in 3 weeks. Don't get me. I want to go in.
Great, Mike. So don't worry.
But don't get Mike banned. That's what he's trying to tell you.
I'd love to go. I'm assuming with something that is so state of the art, they could smell that you don't like him just walking in, because apparently that's part of the Sphere.
Yes.
Is they're going to incorporate smells.
Yeah.
And everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason why this costs $2 billion.
It's crazy.
But hey, James, you don't want to own sports teams. And you say, as he told the New York Times, that in New York City, owners are hated until they're dead. Pretty much. Just don't tell fans to drop dead. How about that? Let's just be a little bit more attuned to customer service. James, and here's the deal. Sell the Knicks. Keep the Garden. Sell the Knicks. Sell the Knicks. Do what you want to do with the Rangers. It seems like they're immune to your whims. You kind of don't care as much about them. Sell the Knicks. Keep your tickets. Show up with your scarves and your coffee and whatever you're doing there. You can still come to the games. Just get out of the business. Go to Vegas. Be like Mo Green. Go to Vegas like Fredo. The Fredo of owners. Seriously. Go there. Do what you want to do. You know, at the tables. Go, whatever you want. Just go to Vegas.
Cocktail waitresses.
No, stop.
Sorry.
I was implying.
Oh, sorry.
Just go. Go to your Sphere. Go in there and make sure the Sphere. It looks amazing, by the way.
It does look pretty cool.
Honestly,
it's
go
pretty
there.
Cool.
Just go. Go to Vegas. Enjoy the Sphere. Leave the Knicks. Just leave them. Leave them. If you don't want to do it. Can you imagine? You go to the New York Times. Like, yeah, you know what? The economics. They're apparently says they're sleepy. To him, the economics of owning a team. Whatever it is,
he's up 20x.
Just leave it.
Sleepy.
Leave him. Go to Vegas.
Sleepy.
And that's it. The Fredo of sports owners can just go to Vegas and hang out. Please, James, just do it.
Let's get them all now while we got the muscle.